AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to Hybrid Powered by Chingsi Media. Right, it's Friday. You know what time it is? Time for Mikel Arteta's pre-Newcastle press conference. Mikel Arteta spoke to the media at the Sober Realty Training Center for his pre-Newcastle United press conference today. Here's what he had to say on the following subjects. On the sad passing of Billy Vigar, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Some shocking news. When I got home yesterday, straight away, I was thinking about the family and how difficult it is to go through something like this in a very unexpected way. Hopefully, the footballing authorities will dig in and understand what happened, why it happened, and try to avoid these kind of things. Really sad news, and our full support with the family and our thoughts with all the loved ones. Yeah, I just want to pay my condolences to Billy Vigar and his family. It's sad news, and I just hope and wish the family all the best in this sad time. Billy Vigar, 2003 to 2025. On Martin Odegaard's availability, Martin will be training with us the next 2 days, so hopefully he'll be available for the game. Obviously, as a sequel to the last press conference, where obviously Mikel Arteta said he'll be out for days, which a day before the Port Vale game, so that ruled him out of that game. But as I said in that last press conference, he should be fine for Sunday. It's just a question of whether he starts or not. But personally, I think he'll be on the bench. I'll be surprised if he does start, but I'll also be surprised if he's not on the bench. On if there's been a scan of Noni Madueke's injury. No, not yet. Okay. Okay, there's nothing more to add to that. On rumours surrounding William Saliba signing a new contract. Hopefully it will be everybody in the world reporting it, Arsenal included, very soon. That's what I'm hoping. But let's leave the club to announce that when it's all done. I like the way he did that. Basically, he's trying to say everyone's talking, but until Arsenal talk, then it's all talk. On how important William is for us. He certainly is, and he's been instrumental in everything we've done in the last few years. It's great to see a lot of players willing and so driven to come into the club. That means that they are happy. They feel valued and they see that this is the best opportunity for them to continue their careers and fulfill the ambition of the club. Yeah, I mean, William Saliba has been an unbelievable servant to the club. I think the world knows that it's pretty as good as done, the contract. A 5-year renewal, which would take him to 2030, which would take him to around 28, 29. So that's his like kind of penultimate big contract, if you like. His next one will be the bumper big contract. It will be a question of whether he remains with Arsenal or seeks pastures new, obviously. But yeah, I think it's time now for people like Saliba, Gabriel, Saka, Odegaard, Rice to start bringing in the trophies that their talent befits. On how much pride he takes in Saliba's form. It's very impressive what he's done at his age, because sometimes we tend to forget. But his consistency, I think, the way he's progressed, I think the way he's matured as well as a person, and his role in the team has grown year after year. I think he's built a partnership with Gabby especially, but also with the backline and the keeper that has the best defensive record in the last three years, I think. He's been pivotal to that. Yeah, I mean, William Saliba is a phenomenal player, phenomenal defender. Obviously, for Arsenal and France. For France, he partners Ibrahima Konate. If not, it will be Dayo Upamecano at centre-half. But he rarely puts a foot wrong. He's very young. He's 23, 24 years old, I think, 24. But still a lot to learn, a lot of potential to reach, and a lot of trophies to attain at Arsenal. So hopefully he can keep progressing as a player, as a man, and become a leader for both club and country. On if we have the best defence in the league, I know we want to have the best team in the Premier League, and in relation to every phase, I think the contribution of every player is critical. We start from our front line, and the amount of pressure and work that they put into any defensive line, any goalkeeper, is tremendous. So it's something collective. It's a team sport, and in anything that we do, everybody has a pivotal role in that. So, yeah, the journalist clearly tried to trick Arteta into saying that Arsenal have the best defence in the league, because what does that even mean? It's about having the best team. It's about finishing top. So how you go about doing that? Obviously, Arteta's faced... He's faced criticism for, quote-unquote, playing with the handbrake on and not going as attacking as he could. I mean, my personal view on that is I think Arteta's method is to try and control a game, which is to an extent, have the handbrake on, which limits the opportunity of the opposition creating chances, which means it's hard for us to lose games. However, with that handbrake being on slightly, it hinders our attacking efforts, prowess, endeavours. So if you loosen the handbrake, we're more prone to losing matches because the control lessens. However, we're more able to create chances. So it's like something's got to give in a way. Do you know what I mean? On if he's proud, we've conceded twice in 7 games. Yeah, especially as one of them was a free kick that you cannot do much about. And one was an action in that there are things to improve. But overall, I think we've been consistent. It will be key to maintain that level. Yeah, I mean, we've conceded 2 goals in 7 games, and we've played... most of those games have been against top teams. Liverpool, Man City, we've got Newcastle coming up. So yeah, but I think it's just about winning games. It's just about creating chances. I think it's just about getting our creative players on the pitch, getting the team right, getting the right blend of players right. Like, if you're going to play with three solid, rigid midfielders, in a way, not, I wouldn't say defensive midfielders, but if you're going to play with the likes of Zubimendi, Rice and Marino, then you have to put someone like a Wanyeri or an Eze in a wide position. I don't think you can add a Martinelli to that. So, however, if you put like an Eze in that midfield, then you can add someone like a Martinelli or Trossard. So it's like horses for courses, in a sense, you know? On if Newcastle are completely different without Alexander Isak? No, because he wasn't playing against Barcelona, and what could have been in the first 30 or 40 minutes could be very different to the result. I always praise the work that Eddie and the coaching staff have done there, and the way they have managed to create such an atmosphere, especially at home. And a very clear identity of playing football. They make it really difficult. We know the test. We know that we're going to have to be much more efficient than we've been lately when we've played up there to win the game. And we're going to work on that in the next 2 days. Okay, first things first. What I've noticed over the last few years is I don't think Arteta likes Eddie Howe. I think there's a kind of... I don't know if disdain's a strong word to what I've observed between them, but there's a little friction there. So I'm going to be observing how they kind of greet each other and, you know, how they move towards each other on Sunday. But that's what I've taken from them. And obviously, I think Eddie Howe kind of uses that oh, it's Arsenal, they think they're better than us, they think they can swan over here and play their football, and we're not having that, let's go and get at them. So he's probably riling up the boys in the changing room, whereas Arteta now is, you know, coming up against a team that are fired up with strong players in midfield like Bruno, Joe Linton, Tonali, who like to leave a foot in. And then you've obviously got big lads at the defence, people like Dan Byrne, you know, Livramento's no slouch, he's a strong, fast boy. So, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle, not to mention that St James's Park is on a slope. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game, a bruising encounter, but hopefully one that we can emerge victorious for the first time in a few years. On the thinking behind kickoff tactics, I like more the one where you put the ball in the back of the net straight away instead of kicking it for a throw-in. There are a few patterns and a few ways that teams have done it over the past, but there are some tendencies as well in relation to the game that we expect. You expect certain things that you can do to try and avoid certain pressure in the first minutes. It's all down to preparation, I think. Arteta's been facetious there. I prefer the one that you put the ball in the back of the net. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, football's all swings and roundabouts in terms of tactics. I think a lot of the teams are going back to the kind of early 2000s, 90s, where like no one's scared to put in long throws, you know, corners, set pieces, all percentage football. Sam Allardyce, Tony Pulis, you know, this is their kind of forte. And also, like, you know, from the kickoff when you just lump it long and things like that, long balls, all of that. So that's from early 90s and it's coming back into fashion. I think it's because there's so many fine lines in football. Arteta's trying to kind of get any type of advantage and use it to his advantage over the opponent. On if we would only kick the ball straight out away from home, it depends. First half, second half, if you
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And it's 2 minutes to go, it depends. I think the context of the match and the results make you decide what's the best thing to do now. Yeah, but the context of the match doesn't matter when it's the first kickoff of the game, does it? So he kind of sidestepped that question. But I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal were to kick the ball out of play if they had if they had kickoff at St James's, just to kind of get into team shape, get the ball out upfield, and yeah, that's my take from that anyway. On how much Saliba has exceeded his expectations, probably all of them, I would say, especially the way we started our relationship. Probably we had different expectations or ideas of how to create the best pathway for him to fulfill his potential. But I think at some point we got to the same conclusion, to the same line, and we started to work together. From there, with the help of all the coaches and players, everything started to flourish because it was clear that the potential was there. It was about timing and especially, in my opinion, creating the right environment and players for him to deliver what he could do. Okay, so that's Arteta essentially saying that they didn't get on. They had a kind of friction between them at the start, which was obvious in the way that Saliba was sent on loan after loan after loan. I think two or three loans in France. But obviously, he excelled while he was there. He grew as a person and as a player. And he's proven to Arsenal that he's been one of the best signings in recent years. On Saka's next goal involvement being his 100th in the Premier League. 100, 101 and 102, hopefully on Sunday. I think that's in less than 200 games as well, which is a really impressive record. That tells you again, when we talk about consistency of attacking players, creative players, that's very rare to find. And at his age, especially more. But that's the talent that we have. Well, I mean, hopefully Bukayo can reach that landmark because he's an exceptional talent. He deserves everything he gets, and hopefully he's the next player to sign a new contract. On a biggest challenge facing Eddie Howe's side, it's a lot of games that you have to dominate when you play against them. Now we have to be ready because they continue so rapidly, so quickly. It's a really intense match. We will prepare for that. We know that as well, but increasing especially our efficiency and two very specific key things, I think it gives us the best chance to win the game. Yeah, I mean, I think it's more so getting the team right. The risk is, or the big question is, where you play Eze or if he plays. Because there's a chance Eze may be on the bench. I mean, that would be folly if Eze is not in a starting lineup. That would be ridiculous, you know? But it's a question of where you play him to determine how, in quotation marks, brave he is or is being in that game. So, for instance, if Eze plays centrally, then you're like, rah, okay. You're kind of going for it, in quotation marks. However, plays on the left and he puts Marino in, it's like kind of handbrake-ish vibes again. But Eze to kind of, you know, inflict his wizardry upon the opponent. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of team that Arteta goes for, because there's options and players that can come in. However, with Newcastle, we know what we're going to get. We pretty much know what starting 11 is going to be. So, yeah. On plenty of players having signed new contracts recently. Extremely happy. Every time I sit with a player and we discuss with the club and what their intentions are, the first thing they say is that they want to continue with us. They want to win with us. They want to continue to grow with us in this environment. That's a great thing to have because it's not always the case. We don't take it for granted. But that means that obviously the club is doing really well as well to make their people and their staff feel very valuable and happy here. Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is winning creates a great environment because everyone's happy when the players that aren't in the squad are in a winning team. There's nothing to complain about because a winning team, you don't really make changes. However, when things aren't going well, that's when the problems arise, where you might see players upset that they're not starting, you know, disenchanted, you know, not really with it in training. So it's important to keep the culture, a winning culture. You know, obviously there looks like a good camaraderie between the squad, between the players. So the main thing is giving all the players an opportunity, or making all the players feel that there is an opportunity to get minutes and to feature and to play a prominent role in our quest for trophies this season and beyond. On how the club has evolved since he was playing in the team. I think the circumstances were different because we moved to the Emirates. The club had other needs, so it would be difficult to compare. What I can say again is that I'm extremely happy that players are feeling so committed and so willing to continue with us because we want to do the same and continue with them because they've been exceptional for us. Okay, it seems that Arteta sidestepped that question. He swerved it, like Roberto Carlos' free kick. But, yeah, basically what he's saying is when Arteta was with the club, we had to sell players to kind of stay afloat, pay off the stadium debt and things like that. And we weren't really going for the title like that. However, now we're kind of a behemoth of a team now. We're really going hammer and tong for big trophies. We're within the top four or five favourites for the Champions League and we're second favourites for the league. We've been going toe-to-toe with Liverpool for two seasons now. We went toe-to-toe with Man City for three prior to that. So, you know, we're not going away. We've been at a high, consistent level, or consistently high level, for a long time now. So, but it's just about getting over that line. And to get over that line, you've got to win at places like Newcastle. On if there will be some news on Bukayo's contract soon. I would love that. From everything that I know, he's a player that is extremely happy and proud to be here. and have the role that he has at the football club. Things will develop in a natural way like they always do. We know, everybody knows how important Bakayo is for us, so hopefully we can do it. Yeah, I mean, it's my understanding that he's happy at the club. He's obviously a loved boy at the club. He's vice-captain. He's in his prime. He's 24, just turned 24. You know, he's an Arsenal boy through and through, come through the youth setup. So there's no real reason for him to leave. And I think of the two, of Saliba and Saka, you would have thought Saka would have been the easiest one to kind of get renewal from. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before both players is a renewal is announced by the club, of course. On how much pride he takes in players wanting to stay here, I was quite direct with them, because when you hear that noise and you can understand that there are certain expectations, at the end players have feelings, have been educated in their families, maybe dreaming about something one day, and that's a really natural thing to have. When I saw that with William, I asked him the question. He said, no, I want to stay here. I want to play here for you. I'm very happy in his own way. So that's great to hear. Okay, so I think he's kind of referring to that typical, oh, I've always wanted to play for Real Madrid or Barcelona since I was a kid type of storyline, which most players have when they kind of, you know, try and seek a move. However, with Williams...
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Ebi, you're not getting that vibe from him. I mean, I've heard that he's an Arsenal fan from young. I don't know how true that is, but to some extent, there is an affinity with the club going back a few years. So I think things like that make it easier for a player to kind of want to continue at the club, let alone the talent, the potential that we have to achieve great things. But like I said already earlier on in the podcast, it's, you know, you got to get over the line. On Real Madrid's reported interest in Saliba, in general, I don't want to be specific, but it was obvious the amount of noise that was around certain clubs. We don't have to name any teams, but they're are not as well that many that can come and get William out of Arsenal. So it was clear. And again, he was so transparent and honest from the beginning. Okay, Arteta's doing that thing again where he's not naming the obvious. Yes, it's Real Madrid. I mean, when you say there are not many teams that can get a player out, if there's any team that can get a player out of Arsenal, or teams with an S, it'll be Barcelona and Real Madrid, where we've lost a few players over the years too. But teams like Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Man United, I'm not sure right now. Obviously, they're probably bigger clubs as a whole, but I don't think that's an upward step by moving from Arsenal to those three aforementioned teams. Liverpool's probably a sideways step. I think Liverpool and Arsenal are kind of neck and neck right now. But yeah, it's clear that he's referring to Real Madrid. Let's have it right. Let's cut the crap out. On the atmosphere at St. James's Park, incredibly beautiful. I think it's one of the best football atmospheres in this country. As a player, as a fan, as a coach, you want to live in this atmosphere. They play every single ball with you. It's electric. There is so much support there, and it's one team, one city. I think that makes it different as well. It's such a challenge and opportunity as well. So it's a great game to play. I think one thing that has gone over a lot of people's heads was that is that if you actually go back a number of years, if I'm not wrong, Newcastle didn't score a single goal against us in the Premier League for 10 years, around 10 years. So it's only of recent that we've struggled up there at St. James's Park, because we always used to win there before our little issues, you know, where they've become our bogey side, essentially. So I think if we can go there and win, that arrests that poor record. Well, let's score first. How about that? Let's score there, because that's what we have not been doing in recent years. So I think we can go and get the first goal, get a win, then it's like, okay, cool. And then you go there again and get another result, then you can kind of remove that bogey team tag. So, but for us to win, we've got to do things right. We've got to do things that we haven't done in recent years over there, which is create chances, which is defend well, which is to win that physical battle in midfield. So there's a number of things we've got to do to be able to put ourselves and give ourselves the best chance of getting the best possible result. On what he took from their game against Barcelona, there are two ways to look at that game with a tactical view. It's on mute or put the volume up, and I decided to put the volume up just to understand. In every decision, there is an emotional contribution, and certainly when you have to play your game and the way you want to play there, you have to be able to do it in that atmosphere, and I think that's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, in the game that Newcastle played against Barcelona, yeah, Newcastle started the game well. Barcelona rode out that first 20 minutes to half an hour, and eventually their quality told. Similar to when Barcelona played Real Oviedo yesterday, they were 1-0 down, and then they just kind of brought on Lewandowski and just tore them to shreds and ended up winning 3-1. I actually fell asleep while that game was on. I woke up and saw it was 3-1. I was like, yeah, typical Barca. But yeah, I'm always waxing lyrical about Barcelona, but I thought to myself today, actually, that if Barcelona were to play against us, I think they would hate that, because we can get at their defence. However, I think our defence could potentially contain their attack, which is the best in Europe for me. However, people like Lamine Yamal could be a game changer. I think the Arsenal against Barcelona would be such an interesting game. I think personally they'll be favourites for that game, but you won't be putting my money. I won't be putting my money on them to play against us. Put it that way. But yeah, that would be a very intriguing matchup, just to see how we kind of cope with their flair and how they cope with us. On his conversations with Saliba in the past that helped them get on the same page, there were a few. The last one, it was unfortunately over the phone because it was during COVID. I said, listen, I have to be honest. The last thing that I want is you being here and you not playing the football that, in my opinion, you have to play in order to continue to develop. The club was on board with that, and after that, when I saw him and looked in his eyes, I said, in my opinion, you are ready. What do you think? And he said, yeah, I'm ready. And then everything started to flourish. So this just makes it sound like there was big friction between them at the start, but they kind of compromised and said, right, you know what? You're talented. I rate you. You want to start your career at Arsenal? Let's meet in the middle. And they both haven't looked back since. On what it was that made him ready during that year. When I started seeing it training, the things that, in my opinion, are the basics that you need to absolutely dominate to play as a centre-back in the league. Okay, I wonder what he's referring to. Is it physicality? Is it communication? Well, I mean, he hasn't really. Who knows? On how important the first 5 minutes of games in tough atmospheres are. The first 5 minutes are the most important minutes for the first 5 minutes. What does that even mean? Oh, man, that's like a riddle, bruv. And then the next 5 minutes until the referee blows the whistle is everything. Momentum, tendencies and feelings in relation to how the team is feeling in that moment on the pitch. But at the end, you need to be dominant for long periods of time to win there. And that's what we'll try to do on Sunday. Well, it's just about getting the team right. But dominant's an interesting phrase because, being dominant, is it having more shots? Is it having the ball? Is it having the ball and shots, which the ball and more shots than the opponent because, you know, in most of the games we have more of the ball, but we're not really having shots. So it begs the question, are we dominant or are we controlling the game? Because that, it might be the same thing. It's all semantics. So for me, having the ball means you're controlling the game, but doesn't necessarily mean you're dominant. I think if you're having the ball and having more shots and having the corners, that's dominating, because dominant is like a complete and utter, you know, domination, really. And if we're going to keep the same philosophy from our 1-0 win at home to Newcastle last season, every game will be different. I didn't like the first minutes that we played at the Emirates against them. I like other parts of it. There are a lot of parts I liked about the games we played at St James's Park, but not especially when we conceded the goals, but we will have to be better. I think the level is better. Their level will rise, our level will rise, and we're going to have to be at our best. If we do that, we're going to have a good chance to win the game. I mean, I agree with that. He's effectively saying if Arsenal are at their best, then they're going to win, without saying they're going to win, because no manager ever says that in a press conference. But I'm not really sure about what he's saying. There are a lot of parts he liked about when we played at St James's, because we usually play horribly there. Last season, we played them around November. We lost 1-0. I believe that was our second defeat of the season, and we only lost two more after that to West Ham and Bournemouth. We created nothing. They scored a fantastic goal from Anthony Gordon Cross and Alexandre Isak header. Do you know, actually, I've not watched that goal. I have not seen that goal. I know what happened, but whenever Arsenal lose, I never watch the highlights. So, and I just didn't watch the game because I wasn't able to watch it. I wasn't at home. So I've literally not seen that goal, but I know it was a kind of fantastic cross and a header from Isak. And even the game against Man City in the FA Cup in January 23, I believe, when Nathan Ake scored, was it a header from a corner or a free kick? I haven't seen that goal either. So whenever Arsenal lose and I'm not watching a game live, I never watch it back. On if he'll be asking Eze to produce more balls over the top for Martinelli. Yeah. Especially if he drops and puts the balls through like he did against Man City. I will tell him to do it very, very often. Do it, Eberechi. Do it. Peace.